Let me start this morning by reading from Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. Jesus speaking, he said, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." You see, we kind of have two different paradigms here that we might look from. One is, I want to stay in the old. The other one is, I want everything new. There's a balance that has to come. A good scribe will take out things out of things old and things new and pull them together, and together we can go forward. Well, to live for God, we need the air of the breath of God, the air of the Spirit, to be continually flowing through us. When sin comes into our lives, we realize that there is a cutting off of the breath of God. There's a cutting off of the life of God. And as Christians, we make a choice. Daily, we make a choice. Will we allow the flow of the breath of God coming into our lives, or will we begin to suffocate spiritually? Jesus said in John 20:22, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, receive there means to take what is one's own, to take to oneself, to make it your own. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 speaks to us very clearly about what sin can do, can cause us to be a slave. "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness." Romans 7:14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal," Paul said, "sold under sin." Paul was sold. He was talking about what he was like before he became into the Christian experience. He said, "I was sold under sin. I was in bondage to sin. There was a price that was paid, and I was sold under sin." The sin in a person's life is actually what the enemy gets a hook into in order to lead you down a certain path. And so it's very, very crucial that if we want to be led by God, that sin has to be taken out of their lives. It's not good enough just to say that I'm born again and I'm going to heaven. There has to be an element of a life displaying a righteous life, or else you're still led by sin. And Jesus said, "Beware of the deceitfulness of riches." There is a deceit in riches that drives, that is behind the governments of this world. There is a demon spirit called Mammon that is actually manipulating and controlling the world systems and most of the Christian world as well. And I believe that that is one reason why God gave us a wonderful principle of giving into the kingdom of God in order to let the demonic spirit of Mammon know that we do not follow after his direction, that by faith we are a people who do with our money what God says to do. As we give into the kingdom of God, as we bring our tithes and offerings to the kingdom of God, we are actually cutting off the influence of that demon spirit called Mammon. That spirit is very, very powerful. That spirit decides who the master is going to be. We think that we just take this stuff out of our pockets and we think there's no power. I want to tell you people, there's power over it. And we better learn how to use it properly, because that demon spirit will influence us throughout our lives if we don't deal with it properly, if we don't use it to what God is intending for it. The spirit behind money can keep one in bondage. So let's make sure that we deal with that as a people. You see, I started out saying that we're in war. We're in a position of war. We are coming against the forces of darkness. We are advancing the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are going to do that properly, we don't want any casualties of war. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19, it says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price." Jesus just walked through the door and declared that he paid the greatest price in the universe, the greatest price that could ever be paid, to set the slave free, to set her free. And now the slave belongs to Jesus. Now Jesus declares, "I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now you choose life." He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So as we choose to follow him, we choose to have a life. We are called to be like him. We are called to be like Jesus, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are called to look to our elder brother and say that we can follow after him. We can act like Jesus upon the earth. Again, we can't do it on our own, but there's a power that mightily works within us.